Do you want to play rock? Say hello to my new friend.
What the hell's going on out here?
That's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE. 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. The website the gentleman just now gave us, we checked it, and we got a warning that there may be, it may be a malicious website. So there are other websites, including the CDC, which has a website showing you the spread of the coronavirus. I would recommend you go to that website to avoid the risk of anything happening. Now, Mitt Romney, about the pork that the Democrats are trying to stick into the stimulus bill, he says, nothing in the Senate has shocked me until Democrats voted down the coronavirus relief bill. Nothing has shocked me. He wrote on Twitter, nothing in the Senate has shocked me until today. Standing in the way of a critically needed rescue package is irresponsible and reckless. Dems say not enough money to states. Nearly $200 billion isn't chump change. Hospitals get at least $75 billion, end of quote, wrote Mitt Romney. And you see, this is why Romney lost the election. He still has no idea what these guys are about. Romney recalled the speech where he teed off on candidate Trump and said he was vulgar and garish and greedy and this, that, and the other. This is the guy who was maligned as racist and an animal rights abuser by Democrats. When he was running, there was a story that he said he didn't even recall, that when he was at a prep school, I believe in Michigan, he allegedly led a band of kids who surrounded a kid they suspected of being gay who had dyed his hair a different color. In those days, that was very unusual. And allegedly, he held him down. The group of boys held him down while they cut his hair. The family of the boy, who has since died, said he never said one word about this, and they doubt that it even happened. The point is, Mitt Romney didn't even believe it because it happened some 40 years earlier. Paul Begala is one of the Clinton aides who works for CNN, been working for CNN for a number of years, and he wrote a piece about this alleged incident that Mitt Romney doesn't even recall, and that the victim's family said the victim never said one word about it. He wrote a piece with the headline, "Once a Bully, Always a Bully," and he argued that because of this alleged incident, Mitt Romney ought not be president of the United States. He was called sexist when he was talking about the binders of women that he discovered. He was even called racist because of the discrimination against blacks within the Church of Latter-day Saints at one time. And he's shocked, he's surprised that Democrats have a left-wing agenda. And the left-wing agenda is to take and take and take away from producers and give and give and give to people that the Democrats deem to be worthy recipients. Mitt Romney is shocked to find out that Nancy Pelosi is goosing the bill with all sorts of things, including a $35 million grant to the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts as part of a coronavirus relief bill. Mitt Romney is shocked by that. I'm shocked that he's shocked. I'm almost as shocked at his vote to expel the president from office, becoming the first and only senator to ever vote to expel the president of his own office. So color us shocked too, Mitt. Now, Trump says he wants the company, quote, opened up his term by Easter, even though other health experts are cautioning him on this. This is a day-by-day situation, almost hour-by-hour. It changes. So we'll see. The leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, is refusing medical help from the United States because he believes that your medicine is a way, quote, to spread the virus more, and alleged that the virus, quote, is specifically built for Iran using genetic data of Iranians, which they've obtained through different means, You might send people as doctors and therapists. Maybe they would want to come here and see the effect of the poison they have produced in person, end of quote. There is an Iranian dissenter named Masih Alinejad, and she and other Iranian women refused to wear a hijab. They were arrested. She fled the country, and she now is, I believe, in Canada. And here's what she said recently in a speech.
Last November, people in Iran, they took to the street, and the government in Iran used live bullets. According to Reuters, they killed 1,500 people. I want to show you that these are the mothers of those people who got killed in Iran protests. And they didn't give up. The picture of their children became part of their body. They go everywhere with the photos of their children. So what the government did, they didn't let them to have a public service. And guess what happened? Qasem Soleimani, the commander of Revolutionary Guard in Iran, got killed by the U.S. They announced 3 days public service in Iran. And what the government of Iran did is useless, showing the rest of the world they cannot even have their own public service, their own rally. They killed more than 70 people in a stampede in Qasem Soleimani's funeral. And you think this tragedy is not enough? They were trying to have a hard revenge to the U.S. They didn't empty the airspace the night when they had military action. So the Revolutionary Guard shot down a civilian's airplane, and they killed 176 innocent people. 19 of those were children. And while I'm here talking about these people, showing you that the government used money to kill its own people, to arrest 7,000 people, but the same regime is useless to deal with a deadly coronavirus. That is why I want to let you know that we, the people of Iran, have been suffering from a more deadly virus, which is called Islamic Republic.
Trump today reiterated his desire to have the country, quote, open up, close quote, by Easter.
You said something 20 minutes ago that I'm sure a lot of people were pretty keen on. You said that we would, I'm paraphrasing now, you would like to be back to normal by Easter Sunday.
Yes.
That's 19 days from now.
It's okay.
Is that true? Is that possible? Or is that false?
I think it's possible. Why isn't it? I mean, we've never closed the country before, and we've had some pretty bad flus, and we've had some pretty bad viruses, and I think it's absolutely possible. Now, people are going to have to practice all of the social distancing and don't shake hands and wash your hands and all of the things that we're doing now. But we have to get our country back to work. Our country wants to be back at work. That was not a controversial thing I said the other day. Our country wants to go back to work. And again, the cure, it's like this cure is worse than the problem. Again, many people, in my opinion, more people are going to die if we allow this to continue. We have to go back to work. Our people want to go back to work.
But what you have said consistently is the first order of business is to kill the virus. So when you look at the data from around the world and across our country, how do you determine that 19 days from now it might be safe? Because there are millions of people watching this now have their family fortune on the line.
Well, they have their family fortune on the line the other way, too. They're going to lose their jobs, maybe never to get them back. They're going to lose their businesses, never to get them back. We want to start up as soon as we can because we're going to have a very quick comeback if we do that. If we delay this thing out, you're going to lose more people than you're losing with the situation as we know it. So I think it's very important for our country to go back. And I've had many, many people, you know, when you said it was a little bit controversial, and not to most people. Most people think I'm right about it. Now, whether we're locked in a room or whether we're in our office and practicing all of the things that we're supposed to be practicing, staying away from each other, you know, et cetera, it's not shaking hands, washing your hands all the time. But our country has to get back to work.
When we come back, what would Joe Biden do?
Call the Larry Elder Show now at 888-971-SAGE. That's 888-971-7243. Eldorados, let Larry know what's on your mind.
Since the president said you and Dr. Birx and others will be guiding him in making the decision, where are you now, this timeline, 19 days from now?
So that's really very flexible. We just had a conversation with the president in the Oval Office talking about, you know, you can look at a date, but you've got to be very flexible. And on a literally day-by-day and week-by-week basis, you need to evaluate the feasibility of what you're trying to do. And, John, you asked for, you know, what kind of metrics, what kind of data. When you look at the country, I mean, obviously no one is going to want to tone down things when you see what's going on in a place like New York City. I mean that's just, you know, good public health practice and common sense.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. As I said, as Dr. Fauci says, this is a day-by-day situation. Now, I'll ask you a personal favor. We're all consumed with the impact of the coronavirus on America and on each of our towns. It certainly is unnerving to walk into a store for the first time in our lives, see empty shelves, or see items that need to be restocked. But that's really the way it is in Guatemala, a country that has the highest rate of malnutrition in the Western Hemisphere. To help, go to my website, LarryElder.com, and you'll see the Feed Starving Children banner at the very top. Listen to this.
Marlene and her three brothers live with their mother and father in a one-room shack in the southeast region of Guatemala. Their daily meals consist mostly of just tortillas and beans, with very little protein, fruit, or vegetables. Although they look much younger, they are 10, 9, 8, and 5 years old. This is because the lack of nutrients in their diet has caused them to be chronically malnourished and has stunted their growth.
If children do not get adequate nutrition before the age of 2, it is too late because they get stunted for their whole life and the brain does not develop as it should. So it's like a perpetual life sentence.
Now, the favor I'm asking you for is to go to my website, LarryElder.com, and watch a video that will show you some of the actual kids and families in Guatemala we're going to assist with your donations. Again, LarryElder.com, and after you watch that short video, click on the Feed Starving Children banner at the very top. $320 or just $27 a month gives blessings of food for a year, water for life for a hungry family of four. Or call 855-918-4673. That's 855-918-HOPE. Alan is in Wisconsin. Alan, you're on the Larry Elder Show. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes. Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me. I've got a question on the U.S. Senate bill that they keep holding hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Would President Trump be able to actually go back and sign executive orders to take out some of Nancy Pelosi's demands that she's having in there because they can't pass it without it?
Alan, that's an interesting question. What if there's stuff in the bill President Trump doesn't like? Can he go back and not do it or take it out? It's interesting. Remember the whole business about giving him a line item veto? And temporarily, Bill Clinton actually had a line item veto. And then the Supreme Court ruled that it was a violation of the separation of powers. Now, there are certain circumstances under which a president cannot spend money that's been authorized by Congress. We went through this when the president was accused of holding up the aid to Ukraine. And there are certain circumstances under which a president can withhold money that's been authorized by Congress, but there are all sorts of hoops you have to jump through. Bottom line, if the president does not spend the money that Congress is authorizing, we'll be back in court. Alan, thank you very much for the call, though. I appreciate it. Matt is in Hemet, California. Matt, you're on the Larry Elder Show.
Hey, Larry. My concern was, I think it's inevitable that Dr. Fauci is going to have to part ways with Trump on this, and I think we need to be prepared for that because Fauci's not responsible for the economy. He's only responsible for public health, and mm-hmm. there's so much public scrutiny on him that he's not going to want to budge on these extreme health safety measures anytime soon. So, you know, he's like that engineer in Apollo 13 who's only responsible for the lander working, even if the mission fails.
Right.
So he's not willing to take any necessary risks, but Trump is the mission commander, and the whole mission is on his shoulders. So if the public opinion is in favor of it, I think Trump should let the 99% of us get back to work and let the remaining 1% take the necessary precautions.
Well, Matt, you make a very interesting point. I've watched these press conferences with Dr. Fauci, and I've watched his expressions. And, of course, from time to time, he puts his head down. He looks almost uncomfortable with the way the president phrased something. And then they bring him back, and he has to kind of clarify what the president said or make it a little more precise. It's got to be a difficult job. And he was asked recently, what's it like to work for President Trump? And he didn't say he was a difficult guy. He says everybody I've worked for has a different style. The president has a different style. So I don't know whether or not he's going to quit. My feeling is that he enjoys the job. My feeling is that he's become probably the most credible voice for the coronavirus. How deadly is it? How quickly does it spread? What can we do about it? How are we doing compared to other countries? What broad measures have we taken? Those kinds of things. And my feeling is he's the kind of guy who feels, even though Donald Trump has got to be a difficult boss, and I'm sure he is, he probably feels, I've got an obligation to stay here. I'm an important guy. I'm the guy that people trust. I'm getting emails from people all over the country saying how much they trust me, how much they respect me. Have you heard a negative thing about him? The only thing you've heard is that Donald Trump has shut him down, has made him not say things, and he's denied that. So we'll see. Nobody is indispensable. Nobody, including Dr. Fauci. Matt, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Phil is in Philadelphia. Phil, you're on the Larry Yoder Show.
Hey, Larry. Calling you from the sanctuary city of Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
And here in the sanctuary city of Philadelphia, each councilman every year gets $1 million to spend in their district. I only recently found this out a few months ago. But then it came out that some of them are hoarding it, holding $10, $12, and $14 million in their account that's supposed to go to districts.
Phil, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember reading a story about your city council a few years ago. Every single one of them was on tape discussing a bribe, and ultimately your AG dismissed all the charges. So nobody got indicted, nobody got charged. You got a bunch of congressperson on tape talking about bribes.
If we get $85 million into this city like the mayor wants, there's going to be 5 more indictments come down. But, I mean, this is wheel of indictment here in Philadelphia.
Unbelievable.
It's indictment of the month club.
Unbelievable.
It's nuts. But my point is, Larry, that the same thing probably goes on in L.A., in Chicago, in New York. With these council people getting this money that they're holding back. Now, right now, people could use Uber Lyft cards, gift cards for Lyft, for takeout food to get, you know, elderly, get some water into their house. They're not spending the money, and they have the gall to ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that President Trump doesn't know this, and that if he does, if it's happening even at the state level, these people got to spend that money in their districts before they get one dime from our president.
Well, Phil, thank you very much for that. I really do appreciate it. Man. When we come back, Joe Biden has been critical of the president's coronavirus response. Okay, Joe, what would Joe do? And Mike Pence today talked about ventilators that have been shipped to New York and more being shipped tomorrow. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. I am Larry Elder. What would Joe Biden do?
I wouldn't go anywhere in confined places now.
America, we have a country to save. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Can I ask about the economy? Because this economy is going pretty well. We have to... What? Why is that funny?
It is going well for now.
For now, right. That's my... Thank you. That's my question. Is, like, I feel like the bottom has to fall out at some point. And by the way, I'm hoping for it. Because I think one way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy. Yeah. So please, bring on the recession.
Yeah.
Sorry if that hurts people, but it's either root for a recession or you lose your democracy.
According to Gallup, President Trump's approval ratings, 49%. All-time high for him. At the same juncture in his first term, Barack Obama had 46% in Gallup. Triple 8-971-SAGE.
This is what change looks like.
7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. The folks at MyPillow say, hey, great Eldersky, can you check out a MyPillow? Let us know what you think. I said, all right. I said, it's a pillow, you know. Big deal. But I said, what do I have to lose? Tell you what I lost. I lost interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half, stays cool all night long, keeps it shape, no more reshaping it in the middle of the night. 60-day money-back guarantee, try it, don't like it, return it, 10-year warranty. And you can throw a MyPillow pillow in your washer, dryer, comes out like new again. Try doing that with your old pillow and see what happens. And for a limited time, two premium MyPillows for just one low price plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code Larry, or call 800-890-1843. Be sure and use promo code Larry. The issue is, what would Joe Biden do differently? Joe Biden has been critical of the president's response to the coronavirus. And he was giving a speech, I think it was yesterday, reading from a teleprompter. It was a speech on the coronavirus, and he outlined what he would do. And here's a little bit of it.
I'm glad the president has finally activated the National Guard. Now we need the armed forces and the National Guard to help with hospital capacity, supplies, and logistics. We need to activate the Reserve Corps of doctors and nurses and beef up the number of responders dealing with the crush of cases. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. The president must use the Defense Production Act.
Yike. Okay, that was him reading teleprompter, and this is an interview in which he was outlining what he would do. And here's part of that interview.
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what. No matter what.
Come again?
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what. No matter what. We know what has to be done. We know you have to, you're tired of hearing the phrase, you got to flatten that curve where it's going up like this, people get it, and then comes down. We got to flatten that curve. And we got to make sure that once, in fact, we have this under control, it doesn't come back.
We have to flatten that curve, and we have to make sure that curve remains flat, because you can't have an unflat curve. That's what Joe would do. CNN's Jeff Zeleny.
But Biden trying to say, I've been there, I can pull the levers of government, I'm very different.
He is. He's trying to say that. The question is, who's listening, and is that being heard? The Biden campaign is, you know, dealing with several things. One, they are trying to become the general election and nominee here. Bernie Sanders is still in, but they are looking beyond him. But they're not quite ready for this moment. I mean, Joe Biden is an old-fashioned handshaking politician. It was clear that they are not ready for the communications required for this. I was on that conference call with him on Friday afternoon, and it was an old-fashioned conference call that barely made any news coverage.
Now, I think that's unfair. He just said Joe Biden is not ready for this moment. That's just entirely unfair.
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what.
And Joe Biden referred to the governor of Massachusetts, whose name is Charlie Baker, as Charlie Parker. Wasn't he a jazz saxophone player?
We can put politics aside and meet the moment like governors all across this nation are doing. Governor Mike DeWine in Ohio, Governor Larry Hogan in Maryland, Governor Charlie Parker in Massachusetts, Gavin Newsom in...
Except his name is Charlie Baker.
California, Jay Inslee in Washington, hard hit, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's briefings.
Hey, he was thinking about jazz. Come on.
Sorry, you have a helicopter roaring in the background. Go ahead.
There's just too many white guys named Charlie. There's just too many. It's hard for him to keep them straight.
But I'm a little upset with China, I'll be honest with you, because as much as I like President Xi and as much as I respect the country and admire the country, I have great admiration for the country, what they've done in a short period of time. Of course, our presidents, our previous presidents allowed that to happen. You should say thank you very much to all of them. But They should have told us about this. And I did ask him whether or not we could send some people in. They didn't want that. Out of pride, I think really out of pride. They don't want us sending people into China to help them. You know, China's a strong country. They have their scientists and they have their doctors, very smart, a lot of people.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Check out our podcast for just 99 cents by going to my website, LarryElder.com. Also read my weekly column, and the front page has a link to a special report on the coronavirus. Again, go to the website, LarryElder.com. As far as ventilators are concerned, here's what Mike Pence said today.
I just received word. I know we started our conversation this hour on the subject of ventilators and the challenges that the state of New York faces. And I was so pleased to confirm that earlier today, FEMA, from the national stockpile, shipped 2,000 ventilators to the state of New York. And tomorrow there will be another 2,000 ventilators shipped from the national stockpile. We have a ways to go yet. It's the reason why we're marshaling all the resources, not just from the national stockpile, but from our existing supply and hospitals and that equipment that can be converted.
And a lot of
but
this...
I want to know, let the people in New York know that earlier today, 2,000 ventilators were shipped directly to New York. New York is truly the epicenter of the coronavirus now in our country. 2,000 more will be arriving tomorrow.
Andrew is in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, you're on the Larry Elder Show. Thank you so much for calling. Always nice to hear from you.
Hey, you watch MSNBC, hee-haw, so we don't have to. My neighbor watches it only because she doesn't pay for the better package where you get Fox. But I'm surprised MSNBC, hee-haw, hasn't said race is anti-Semitic. Trump is anti-Semitic because he calls it, said Easter, he plans to reopen, but why didn't he say Passover or Passover and Easter?
Andrew, don't give me any ideas. They've already called him racist because he referred to the coronavirus as a Chinese virus or as a Wuhan virus. And regarding Mr. Biden, we got J.D. from Las Vegas. J.D., you're on the Larry Elder Show. Thank you so much for calling.
Hey, Larry, love your show. Love you.
Thank you.
Biden forgot about Perry Como, the governor of New York. What Pelosi is putting in this bill, Larry, keep hammering it, please. They want abortion. They want money for federal employees. They want the harvesting of ballots. They want same-day registration. This is an absolute joke. And then you got the congressman down in South Carolina, Clyburn, saying, well, this is what we want to do. This is our progressive program. We got to pork it up.
That's exactly what he said.
It's unbelievable how naked they have been in this bill to help the American people and how far away from reality they are, sir.
Well, J.D., you're absolutely right about Clyburn. He said this gives us an opportunity to advance our agenda. And that prompted Senator John Barrasso's rant on the Senate floor.
Just read the papers that are coming out of the Democrat House. Just read the papers of the demands by the Democrats to muck up a bill that is designed as a rescue operation for the American people. That's where the problem is, Mr. President. We need to vote today again and again and again until we provide the relief, the rescue that the American people need. That's why we have a dozen Republicans on this side ready to speak, standing at podiums, ready to speak. And you don't right now have even a single Democrat on the floor to defend their position because it is indefensible. That's where we are. We had Nancy Pelosi flying back from California because she sent the House home a week ago. They're not here to defeat the work that we've done in a bipartisan way and to say, oh, you've done nice work. Now look at our list of laundry list of things that we are demanding.
The American people are watching this spectacle. I'm told the futures market is down 5%. I'm also told that that's when trading stops. So the notion that we have time to play games here with the American economy and the American people is utterly absurd. So I want to explain what just happened. Our good friends on the other side would not have been disadvantaged one bit if this vote had succeeded because it would have required potentially 30 more hours of discussion, during which these seemingly endless negotiations could go on as long as they would like. Now, the build-up to this, so everybody fully understands, is that we had a high level of bipartisanship in five different working groups over the last 48 hours, where members who were participating were reaching agreement. And then all of a sudden, the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House shows up. And we're back to square one. So we're fiddling here, fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care. The American people expect us to act tomorrow. And I want everybody to fully understand, if we aren't able to act tomorrow, it'll be because of our colleagues on the other side.
Dr. Fauci was asked about any possible rift, conflict between the way he sees things and the way Trump sees things. Here's what he said.
I have never in that room had a situation where I said, scientifically, this is the right thing to do it, and they said, don't do it, or scientifically, this is the wrong thing to do, and they did it anyway. Then we get up and we present it to the president, and he asks a lot of questions. That's his nature. He's constantly asking you questions. And I never, in the multiple times that I've done that, where I said, for scientific reasons, we really should do this, that he hasn't said, let's do it. Or when he's decided, not decided, when he suggests, why don't we do this? And I say, no, that's really not a good idea from a scientific standpoint. He has never overruled me.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Trump highlights the personal protective equipment being shipped to New York and to Washington State. I am Larry Elder.
All across America, The Larry Elder Show. Back to the sage, Larry Elder.
Are you at all concerned, as Trump said, that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself?
We have to take care of the cure. That will make the problem worse no matter what. I'm glad the president has finally activated the National Guard. Now we need the armed forces and the National Guard to help with hospital capacity, supplies, and logistics. We need to activate the Reserve Corps of doctors and nurses and beef up the number of responders dealing with these crush of cases. And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken of it. The president must use the Defense Production Act.
I was born here and I was raised here. And dead gone, I'm gonna die here. And no sideline bushwhacking, pouring swarming, crocker crocker, they're gonna roll away, Mrs. Cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. The Zip poll question I left you with yesterday: have you been tested for coronavirus? 1% of you said yes. Here's the one for tonight. We'll give you the results tomorrow. Have you or your significant other lost his or her job because of the coronavirus? Two responses, either yes or no. In order to respond, you have to go to your app store, download the Zip app by searching on the Zip Poll USA, Zip Poll USA. In order to respond to this particular poll, you have to use my code SAGE, S-A-G-E. We'll talk about this tomorrow. President Trump today.
Let me provide you with an update on critical supplies. FEMA is distributing 8 million N95 respirator masks and 13.3 million surgical masks across the country right now. Focusing on the areas with the greatest need, we've shipped 73 pallets of personal protective equipment to New York City and 36 pallets to the state of Washington. In the past 96 hours, FEMA has also received donations of approximately 6.5 million masks. We're having millions and millions of masks made as we speak, and other personal protective equipment, which we will be distributing to medical hotspots. We're focused on some of the hotspots.
A lot of you are emailing me about this anti-malarial drug, and a doctor says that it's been used on hundreds of patients effectively, but it's too soon to tell its effectiveness.
Currently, what the situation in New Orleans, we have many hundreds of patients currently hospitalized with hydroxychloroquine. We have incorporated it in.
And we'll see. Got to be tested scientifically. I am Larry Elder.
That's enough. Put down the mic. I want to thank Larry for the job he's done.
All across America, the mic has been dropped. The Larry Elder Show.